Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So, here we go, it's the Cop Hype Podcast.
Oh, well, I feel like a fucking balloon. I feel fucking deflated. Welcome back, everybody, to the post-match show. I'm Jay, Mick, Tim and Matt. I'm sorry that we have to be here as well, and I'm sorry that you have to talk to us. But yeah, let's try and get through this one together as a collective. Where Liverpool have been beaten by Chelsea 1-0 at Anfield, and we have now gone 5 games in a row beaten at Anfield, which is just fucking depressing. Everything about this is depressing, but let's try and talk a bit, and then maybe after it might be put in the WhatsApp group, boys, that, you know what, I feel better after that. You know, we're only, you know, there's still what, 20-odd points to play for, 30-odd points to play for. I don't know, maths is shit, and we're only 7 points behind second, so it can't be that bad, can it, Michael? But it was. It was fucking shit, weren't it?
It really was. I don't want to get into specifics at the moment, but Gav's just fucking summed it there, up there, boring. Like, it was just, there was no cutting edge, and then substitutions were just, we were talking about it in the WhatsApp group, were just a bit baffling.
Mate, honestly, I know this is a fucking stupid question, but before we go into the game, just like, are your thoughts now? Are you thinking, right, that's it now? Top four's gone. We need to finish outside European places. But what are you thinking now?
The thing is, with Klopp in charge, I'll never give up in terms of like any goals that we've got. Like, we're, so what are we? We're now 4 points off top four. But there's teams around us with games in hand, the likes of West Ham and Spurs and that other fucking shower of shit got games in hand. So I'll never give up. But the fact that they've got those games in hand, if they win those, it looks like a quite daunting prospect at the moment. So it's just shit, because like we said on the pregame, it's like we're quite up for this. And I was just praying that they would be like, in an alternate universe, that there was fans in the fucking stadium tonight, especially to give Ian St. John the send-off, and to fucking, like, Alisson's back, he's just lost his dad. Like, stuff like that would give us an extra fucking 20% tonight, and it just weren't there. And you can understand why, because there's no fans, but we just, like, fucking Belaldino has just said they're a good name, like, to be fair. I wouldn't say top four's gone, I don't agree with that, but players do look a bit drained. And I mean, I think the subs kind of mirror that. I think Klopp taking off Salah for me is baffling, because the likes of Mane or Bobby should come off before Salah in recent form anyway. So it's just, yeah, very disappointing. But fucking hell, I don't know what else we can do. We just weren't at it tonight.
Fucking Gab's comment there. Oh, Gav's winning for comment of the night so far. If anybody can top that, brilliant. Well, sticking on the top four situation, Matthew. Right now, as you're sitting here at, you know, 16 minutes past 10, 17 minutes now, it's just changed. Is top four gone, yes or no? Justify your answer.
No, we're only 3 points off fourth, and I expect Everton, West Ham, Chelsea and everyone else to drop some points. It's gone if we don't win and pretty quickly we just start winning again. But right now, no, it's not gone.
Yeah, no, okay, mate, fair enough. Tim, let's come to you. Same question. How are you feeling right now? Top four, is it gone? Are you too emotional to answer the question? But is it gone in your opinion or not?
I wouldn't say so. I think there's still, like you said, I think it's 33 points to play for. And with a 3-point difference between us and everyone else with the game in hand, although, yes, it is very tight, kind of second through ninth, there's about 7 points in it. I wouldn't put it past us to get back into the top four. I think we just ran into Chelsea at the wrong time today. And that kind of showed in our performance, and it kind of showed in their performance. They completely outplayed us. They came with a game plan and kind of played it perfectly. They defended when they had to. They looked absolutely incredible on the counter-attack. Werner looked, I mean, if he finished, he would have been world-class this evening. His runs in behind were causing us problems every time Chelsea picked up a loose ball in the midfield. It was just a recipe for disaster tonight, and it just kind of feels like that we need to start putting so much hope into this team. We need to kind of remember that this team is a hollowed out shell of itself, and it's we're not going to be able to scrap out big games like that like we have been able to for as long as we can remember at this point under Klopp. So yeah, I just think that it all went wrong at the wrong time this evening.
Yeah. No, Mick, I just want to touch on what Matt said pre-game about the high line and the risk of the pace at the back. We got caught out quite a few times, didn't we? And Chelsea's manager really did do his own work, and he saw that as a weakness, and he did exploit it. Obviously, I'll talk a little bit about the goal in the first half when, for me personally, I think the goal should have stood at the end of the day. I thought it's just another bullshit VAR decision. But it's not really VAR, it's the rule at the end of the day that needs to change. So I did feel a little bit for Chelsea, but then I thought, well, we're fucking old one, aren't we, at the end of the day. But then the first half finishes with us 1-0 down anyway. So I thought it was justified in that way. But again, I didn't fit the point I'm trying to make is, the Liverpool of last season, the season before, and the season before that, if we go 1-0 down, I'm still confident we're going to win. But that going in 1-0 down at half-time, thinking, well, I didn't expect to get anything from it then.
No, and the Timo Werner goal, really, if that was us on the other end with, I don't know, one of our front three free on goal, we'd be fucking absolutely furious right now, wouldn't we? Let's be honest, it was similar to the Mane again at Goodison. It was, for me, it was that close, and that should be given. As much as we were fucking lucky, albeit they scored anyway, it should have been given. But it was a let-off, and we should have then used that as a motivation to try and score even quicker, but like you said, it was just once they got that first goal, I think we all as a collective lost any hope of getting back into that game. I think we're so used to going, if we go behind, we think, right, we'll get back into this, boys, don't worry, we'll get there somehow, we'll get a goal, we'll scrap one, we'll make a scrappy goal, and then we'll be back in it, and then we'll score another and win it like towards the end. That's just not the case at the moment, because we haven't got that back line with the pace that we need to make this system work. And I think we're so reliant on the system, and that's kind of Klopp's fault, because we're so reliant on those players, so structured in that system, that if they're not there, then we kind of miss them quite a bit. But it is just frustrating. We just there was no cutting edge tonight. It was just too placid. It was too many touches in midfield, and certain players not on top form, lacking a bit of confidence, and it was just that. And they were fucking electric on the counter attack. They could have scored.
They were, mate. They fucking were.
We were. 1-0 was I mean 1-1 would have done me, but fucking hell, they were really good tonight in terms of like getting forward and getting in behind us every time.
They were. Before we move on, I just want to check out some of the comments from the lads that have joined us tonight. So, Brian Connolly, again, good evening, mate. First issue of substitutions. We will come on to the subs, mate, because they were baffling. Gav says he honestly don't think we will get the top four. I'll have a word with him, boys. Don't worry, we'll sort him out. David Rowland has come back and said there's still no plan B. Absolutely right, mate. There hasn't really been a plan B, and we will talk about that with the substitutes in a second. Jake's back as well, mate. Nice to see you, pal. We look like a team that's been found out. Again, it's a very, very good point, because we're just the amount of defeats we're taking, mate, just doesn't doesn't sit right with us at all, or the amount of L's, as the kids say these days. Dan's back as well, mate. Mind blown by the subs. Manny has been awful most of the season. Should have put us 1-0 up from that incredible Salah pass. Never really controlled the midfield or the game. Yeah, can't disagree with that, mate. But then Dan has come back with 7 out of 8 wins from the last 11 games. Should be good to get top 4. That's doable. See, Dan, fucking positivity. I love it. We're only less than 9 minutes in and we've got some positivity out of that. Thank you, Dan, for that. I appreciate that, mate. Who else has joined us? Oh, Rafa's pal's back as well. If anyone scores before us, we're done. Yeah, so it's exactly what you just said, Mick. It's absolutely spot on. Diane's coming back in. The situation we're in is unacceptable. Nobody fears anyone. That's a really, really good point. Let's just stay on that for 1 second. Matt, I'll come to you on that one. It does feel like people are probably more excited to play Liverpool at the minute rather than be shit scared, Matthew, don't it?
Well, we can't score a goal. And then we've a weak defence. So why wouldn't you want to play against Liverpool at this moment? Yeah, can't win at Anfield either. So coming to Anfield seems to benefit other teams as well. So, we're not a scary prospect. I mean, Liverpool fans are now questioning whether we're even going to get a point when we line up for a match. So, if we ourselves are doubting it, then other teams have to be well up for playing Liverpool at the moment.
Yeah, no, and it echoes what Rafa's pals are saying as well. The squad's not strong enough. We may have a strong 14 or 15, but that's it. And that has been really proved this season with substitutions and the squad, and then the way we've had to sort of plug holes, put square pegs in round holes, if you like, if that's the way you want to say it. So let's just have a look at these couple of comments that are coming in now. Klopp has lost his mind. Why did he take out the best player on the pitch? So let's just talk about the substitutions, Tim. I'll come to you on this one, pal. We all knew that Diogo Jota was going to make an appearance at some point. Obviously, we did assume it would have been on the hour mark, regardless of whether we were winning, drawing or losing. But when that board went up and then Mo Salah's number came up, it's like, it was baffling, wasn't it? I mean, I just couldn't understand it. Maybe we could sort of understand the Jones side of things. If he was bringing on Naby Keita, obviously he brought on the Ox, which again was a little bit like, I didn't get. But let's just focus on the Salah thing, Tim. Can you make any fucking sense of it?
I don't actually think I can. He is the one guy when he is on the pitch, he still gives you that feeling that we could score because he could produce something, anything. You know, he has a tendency to have balls dropped to him in the area, and when they do, he's fairly clinical. And he is the one guy you could have faith in this season that would genuinely put a chance away. So to see him go off that early in a game, because if you've got 10 minutes left and you're just trying to make a change up and just throw something different at Chelsea, then fair enough. But with, what was it, about half an hour left?
Yeah.
To see him go off and you're thinking, well, that's, I understand that obviously Hotta coming on is a goal threat in itself, but why would you take the only other guy who's looked creative or threatening off the pitch? Mo Salah's consistently been our best player this year. Bobby Firmino's been in and out of form. He looked fairly quiet this evening. He did his usual job dropping into the midfield and connecting play. And then Mane has a habit of the moment of trying to force absolutely everything. He holds onto the ball far too long instead of actually letting the play flow through him and actually kind of playing off of other players. He seems to be wanting to go it alone and he seems a little bit more selfish than usual recently, and I know he's probably just trying to play himself into form and bag a goal and get his confidence up, but that's not the way to do it. And if there was anyone I would have pulled off for Hotta, it would have been him. He was completely shut down by Reece James. He had one chance that he completely fluffed. And listen, I'm a massive fan of Sadio Mane. I think he's been one of our best players for years now. For me, he's the best left winger in the world, but on current form, it's not an excuse to be able to pull off the Premier League's top scorer over him. So I'm still completely baffled and I can't wrap my head around it.
Yeah. Mick, your thoughts on the substitutions? I mean, Tim's just summed it up perfectly, hasn't he? We can't find an answer for it. But does it scream a preempted sub in terms it was agreed before the game kicked off that that was the change that he was going to make, and regardless of what's going to happen, It sort of screamed that for me. It's like, oh, I'm sticking to my guns. That's what I've agreed. That's what's going to happen. But I don't know. What do you think?
I just think Salah always looks so surprised when he comes off, doesn't he? So I don't know. I don't know about that one, but yeah, like Tim said, you can't bring off your top goal scorer. You can do something in the blink of an eye. You can't bring off someone like that in a game like this where like half chances need to be taken. And if we didn't get many, we had one shot on target, which was a Wijnaldum header, I think. But if
in the 84th minute,
yeah. But if you want a chance to fall to someone, it is Salah or Mane. So bringing off any of those two is mental for me. And I think it comes back to Klopp being so structured in the way he sets up a team that it kind of like a subs, just like an afterthought. It's like, this is my 11, my best 11. This best 11 will win. But if I need to bring someone on to kind of not change the game dynamically, they'll do. And I mean, that's what we're having to rely on now. And I don't think he's as adept at that as he is at like setting an 11 up. I think he's not got quite into the rhythm of bringing people off the bench. I mean, like, we all wanted to see Naby Keita tonight. We all wanted to see him. Of course we did. Like, and then we see Milner coming on. And to be fair, like, Milner's been good when he started games, like the West Ham game. I think he was great in, and a couple of games before that, before he got that injury, he was fucking amazing, to be honest.
Yeah.
But it is a bit baffling when you, like, Bobby's great and whatever, but I don't think he was firing. And you just want to go, you want to see full throttle footy. That's what you want to see at home. When you lose a 1-0, you want to fucking just go for the jugular, and it didn't. When it doesn't happen, that's why you're a bit disappointed, and I think that's why we're all sat here a bit annoyed by it all, to be honest.
Yeah, true. Matt, do you think there's what Rafa's saying there is a hidden agenda bringing Mo off? Mo definitely wasn't happy with him being brought off. Excuse me. And then obviously, does it tie into what Dan's just said about the lack of confidence from Firmino and Mane, and that's why he's stuck with him?
I can't fathom or understand the Mo substitution, to be honest. And I can't really explain it any other way than that. I'm not going to try and pretend like I've got inside info as to why. It just doesn't make sense to me. The only one that semi made sense to me, and it's getting a bit of criticism, is Milner coming on. I know he's not creative, but he's a fighter, and we were losing the midfield battle, so I sort of get him trying to bring in Milner on to maybe add some bite and try and win that battle.
I was like being taken over by Steve's comment, because Steve, good evening, mate, thanks for joining us. He's put, apparently it was because Klopp asked him to track back and he jogged back. If his attitude isn't there, then don't blame Klopp. End of the day, doesn't matter who it was, they weren't good enough. Yeah, yeah. It's a double-edged sword there. Again, Steve's got a really good point there, and you'd probably do that with everything, really, wouldn't you? If that is the case of the attitude, you would bring them off. But at the end of the day, Mo's probably thinking, look, if I track back, what am I going to do? I'm not protecting a lead at the minute. We're 1-0 down anyway, so what's the worst that could happen? You know what I mean? My job is to fucking score goals, so why are you bringing me off? Because in the blink of an eye, I can fucking change the game like I have done for you. So I do get it, and then I don't get it at the same time. But I just want to cry. It's so fucking deflating it because of how well we've done over the last few years. But boys, there's a comment that's just that came in earlier, and where is it? It's by Victor, and he said Klopp is clearly bereft of ideas to turn things around. The tactics he put on every game is poor. His sub is woeful, which obviously we've covered. He should take the blame for this team imploding. It's not an issue of injury. Does anybody want to volunteer and take this one? Because I'm going to hide behind the comment because I'm a bit like,
yeah, I'll take it.
I'm like that with my popcorn. So the young lads want to take it. So Matthew, you take it away, and then Tim will come to you on that. I don't agree with the comment entirely. Because crack on, mate.
Made apart from the subs, and I'll give him the subs. But the tactics, we've had a clear shift in formation. We've switched to a 3-5-2, and yeah, it was Sheffield. But when we beat Sheffield, everyone was like, "Oh, look, he's changed it. It works so well. Look at the team working together. And everyone's loving it." And even today, during the first half until Chelsea scored, we were chatting in the group chat. We're like, "Look, liking the new formation, liking how it links up, liking how everyone's playing. So I don't think the tactics are poor. I think the players just aren't playing well, because if Mane goes and scores that goal, we're 1-0 up and we're having a completely different conversation. So it's not as much the tactics, it's the poor form. And then the team imploding. How in the hell is it not an issue of injury? You're missing so many players. The best defender in the world, his partner, well, his two partners, your captain, just loads of players throughout a season. And is any other team going to deal with this? No. So the guy that's won us a Champions League and a Premier League is not the one to blame for the team imploding. It's him missing half his squad.
Tim?
Yeah, I'd echo what Matt says. I don't really think you can look at Klopp.
Go on, Tim. Sorry, mate. Carry on.
That's all right. I just genuinely don't think you can look at Klopp and actually think, oh, well, it's his fault. Like, at the end of the day, he went out and Liverpool have gone out and strengthened the squad that won a Premier League and won a Champions League over the course of summer. They brought in, as Jay rightfully puts it, a cherry on the top midfielder to change the way Liverpool can score so that they're not one-dimensional and so that they develop. And for the first half of the season, and remember, at Christmas, we were top of the table. That's when we still had the majority of players in play. You know, we were still missing the likes of Van Dijk and Joe Gomez, but Matip was in the squad and we were still able to play the majority of our midfield in midfield. So if you can look at Klopp and say, all right, well, it's his fault for this and his fault for that, you're just trying to make excuses for what is the main... Everyone, the difference between an excuse and a reason is the reason involves kind of like a sense of reality to it, and there's a sense of, you know, that's actually a viable kind of reason as to why something is occurring, you know? And he... It is what it is.
It is what it is.
We got 20 minutes. We got here.
Three episodes in 20 minutes. But at the end of the day, it's you can't look at any other thing apart from injury. You're missing the best defender in the world, one of the best up-and-coming English defenders alongside him. You're missing the best CDM playing in his position. You're missing your captain and one of the best central midfielders and one of the most effective central midfielders on the pitch. And all of a sudden, you're going to look to Klopp and say, well, listen, you are the reason that this team isn't functioning anymore. It's just not realistic. Judge Klopp on when he has a full squad available to him. I am still of a belief that if this Liverpool team was at full health for the majority of the season or for the totality of the season so far, we would still be ahead of Man City. I think that we would still be looking at a point total close to 70 around now. So yeah. I just don't believe in judging Klopp. It's like judging Klopp in his first year when he didn't have the team he really wanted and the players of the quality he really wanted on the side and going, well, why isn't he winning the Premier League and the Champions League? So it doesn't make any sense to turn to Klopp. His substitutions were questionable tonight. There's no doubt about it. I would like to have seen him stick to the same formation and setup that we played against Sheffield United. We saw spurts of it, and it was when we were playing better against Chelsea. But we did revert back to that 4-3-3, and Chelsea kind of picked us apart when we did. So,
yeah,
yes, no. Blame Klopp for the tactics this evening. Blame him for the substitutions. But if you're going to look at Klopp at a whole after half a season of missing the majority of his squad, then, you know, you need to look at yourself in the mirror.
Before we move on. And one thing as well. I'm not sure if you're going to say it, Jay, but we've had another comment here. We talk about the defensive problems, but we're not scoring. But comments like that kind of annoy me because it's what other fans throw at us. But not having Van Dijk, Matip and Gomez, it affects the rest of the squad. It's how we play. There's other players having a cover for them. The wing-backs aren't flying up as much because they know that they haven't got the big man covering them. It affects the midfield. It affects the midfield, then affects the front line. It's not as simple as take out Van Dijk and everyone else should play exactly the same. Him and Gomez are a big part of the way we play, and it affects everything else.
You're spot on, mate, and I've said that for weeks. This team is like a house of cards, not because it's fucking... weak, because house cards weak. You take away one card and a house card, the whole thing crumbles. You're taking away your two centre halves, then your wing backs can't goers forward as much because they know, well, I've not got my two reliable defenders. I've got to fucking stay back. You take out your two best centre midfielders and you put them at centre half, we're losing that midfield. It's been evident for fucking weeks that we've been overrunning midfield. And why is that? Because Hendo and Fabinho aren't there. So then you're not getting that impetus. So winning the ball back high up the pitch for a quick turnaround for the front three, and that's where they're struggling as well. Let's not get too fucking rose-tinted at the end of the day. The front three aren't performing the way they should be. They should be the chances that they are getting, they're not putting away. Let's be fucking crystal clear on that. But Matt's absolutely spot on. It's a domino effect. You take away that stability of the one of the best centre-back pairings in the world, you are going to fucking struggle. Add to the fact that your goalkeeper has been in and out as well. It's just so many fucking things that we've got to think about. But on the flip side to it, the way the rest of the fucking league's playing, we're still fucking good enough to finish fourth. And there's some fucking shit performances that are going on. And we really do need to fucking think about something to turn it around. And Mick, go on, you've got to say something, mate. Sorry.
No, I was just gonna like completely agree. Like it's so prevalent that everything is so vital to what we do. It's so structured that you take anything out of it, then it just, like you said, Jay, it falls apart. Like that is why the front three aren't playing the same, because they haven't got that stability in behind them to go and go full throttle. There's kind of like an afterthought that like, oh, I need to get me ass on my fucking bike and go back towards my own goal. So it is frustrating at times, but yeah, we just need to fucking reset and fucking and go again. That's all we can do. Like we're playing, that's the first time we've lost five league games in a row in our history at home anyway. But we've got a good enough, especially with Fabinho. I was back tonight, he was good again tonight. Hotter came in and looked really good. Keita didn't even come on, who I imagine he'll start a few more games now that he's back. There's 30, like Tim said, there's 33 more points to play for, and we're more than good enough to get, as long as we get that top four this season, I don't give a fuck. As long as we scrape it last game of the season by 1 point or a fucking goal difference or whatever, we just need to make sure we're in there. Then the summer comes and we'll see Mbappe 2021. So it'd be sound.
Fucking hell! Right, let's do a quick flash, because the comments have been fucking brilliant tonight, and I really appreciate every single one of them. So let's do a bit of a flash, and we'll go around the table. Tim, very quickly, Keita left on the bench. The game's crying out for him. 10 seconds. Go on, cover that one.
Couldn't agree more. We needed a goal in the 80th minute. That's one of the, for me, as questionable as the Salah substitution. You need a goal, you bring on Keita. He's an attacking midfielder. He scored against Chelsea before. Bring him on. Damn it.
Good lad. Love it. Well done, mate. Mick, go on. You can have this one. Someone on Twitter said Klopp should be sacked. Five seconds.
Off.
You're not even going to need that.
There you go.
Like that, wicked. Tarek, that wasn't a fuck off at you, mate. That was a fuck off at the Twitter comments.
Tarek, wasn't you, mate. It was just if someone's saying
that was the Twitter comment, absolutely. Matt, let's come to you with Gabs. We've just gone stale. We put Agui, our two best midfielders, at centre half a game. City shit the bed when Laporte got injured. Absolutely fucking true. They still have a fucking great squad and they still failed. We lost both our centre backs, maybe they tweak our formation a little bit. Again, Matt, to be fair, you covered that before, mate, with what you said, so we'll give you another one. When you talk about our defensive problems, they're playing well without Virgil van Dijk and the rest, but the major problem here is scoring. Matt, 10 seconds, go for it.
Haven't we covered that?
To be fair, yeah, we have. We've covered that one. Let's do that one. All right, let's do that one then. Yeah, I like that one, Matthew. Go on, you can have 20 seconds on this one. Go on, so thanks for that, Stu, Mike, Matt. Is Klopp a big enough lure for the top players this summer without Champions League football? Matthew, go.
Yeah, isn't he back-to-back manager of the year or something like that? So, he's a massive lure. It's Jurgen Klopp. You know the way they play. And either way, any football player with two brain cells will know that Liverpool will be right back to where they were next season when they've got their whole squad back together. So who wouldn't want to play for Jurgen Klopp and bring Liverpool back from this shocking season?
Okay, yeah. Mick, let's just stay on this one for a minute. You agree with that? Still, even if we don't get top four, is he still the law for big players like your Mbappes and your Haalands? I don't know.
It's going to be difficult with no Champions League to offer someone. I mean, we're kind of at the stage where we need to keep the CL in and around the club.
Fuck off.
Quote by MM.
I swear to Christ, if I could fucking just reach through there and strangle you.
Honestly, I don't know where that came from. I never used to do that. I do blame Matt for this, so I'm just.
I've never.
You are in your 30s. You are not allowed. You're over 30. You can't do it. These two can get away with it. You can't.
I just like annoying Matt. I could see he was fuming, but no, we need to maintain Champions League football to get the likes of the Haalands and Mbappes, who, like last year, they would have been looking at us going, what a team that would be to play for. I'd score fucking hundreds, win all every fucking title that is to be won. And we just need to, yeah, at least get Champions League footy this year. And then next season, once we get all the big fellas back, then we can fucking absolutely go for it.
Okay. Tim, let's just stay on this one, mate, for you. Is there anything that you could add to that?
Not really. I think that players might reconsider or wait another year because I think that they will, you know. This quality we got, Quebec and that Phillips. On
yeah, Quebec and that Phillips. Enter back partnerships.
Yeah, Tim, just take your hat off. Take your hat off for a minute. I know you're a shit.
I can't.
You can, I know you're a shit. Come on. So there you go. We've got Nat Phillips and we've got Kabak. I love it. Fucking brilliant. Brilliant. Super. Okay, right. There's another really good comment that's come through. Besides Adam and Gav both agreeing that Matt does look like Kabak, which I absolutely love. I'm not gonna play the song, so don't worry. Where is that comment gone? Here we go. So Blade Runner's coming with an interesting one. Which we could be here for another hour now talking about this. I blame FSG, to be honest. Why are we buying two no-name defenders when we have defensive issues and trying to defend the league? Who would like to take this one on?
I think I'm quite well known. Thank you very fucking much.
Fucking hell, brilliant. Right,
why
then,
the fuck are they taking defenders on when they got me at the back? Fuck's sake.
Okay, well, I'd like Blade Runner to come back in and set and answer who would we sign instead in the current climate with fucking no one have no funds and whatever else who would we have possibly signed?
And it's not just the funds, it's the fact that who are you going to sign that's going to accept the fact knowing that when Van Dijk and Gomez are fit they're going to eat bench for the rest of their contract.
Exactly.
Oh, eat bench, love that.
That's worse than the fucking CL, that.
No, I love that. I love eat bench. Bench, motherfucker. I love that. Well, if Blade Runner is still in the comments, mate, I see where he's coming from. I'm gonna play devil's advocate on this one. Everyone knows my stance on FSG. You know, I do like what they've done for the club, given where we were 10 years ago. Because I wasn't in nappies in the Roy Hodgson era. I was a fucking grown ass man who was getting pissed because his football team was shit. So I do remember it. So I am very grateful for what they've done, the way they've built the club up without you just spunking money everywhere. But I do think we've fallen asleep a little bit because we've known since September, October that we needed another centre-half. And I think we were always going to buy another centre-half to be Van Dijk's permanent partner this summer anyway. I think that just goes out the window now, regardless of what's happened and whether we get top four anyway. But it is, I do think they were a little bit slow in jumping on that because we didn't get these injuries at Christmas waiting for the January transfer window to open. We had them months in advance, so we could have done deals months in advance and gone, do you know what, 1st of January, 2nd of January, boom, we get people over the line. But we didn't. We waited until the end, and that was a little bit disappointing because there's still so many games to play in January. You could have embedded the likes of Kabak. I'd like to say Ben Davies, but fuck me, he hasn't been seen. And God knows what the fuck's gone on there. I've no idea. So I don't know. And what Gav's just said there, if you sign Koulibaly, Gomez does eat bench, but Koulibaly was never coming in January. Never in a fucking million years will we sign him in January.
I completely disagree with that. I think Gomez is probably better than Koulibaly is, to be honest with you. I prefer him. Oh, I think Koulibaly reminds me of Upamecano. I think he's terrible on the ball. He's a really good physical athlete, but outside of that, he's not the best football player on the planet, and he's not really a Klopp defender. I'd much prefer Joe Gomez. He's really quite rapid.
I honestly think Gomez is
Blade
so...
Wait, old Blade Runner's back. Sorry, mate. Let's just have the respect of fucking. And then I'm going to read Gav's comment as well. So let's focus on Blade Runner for a minute. My opinion, Gomez needs to be replaced. He's class, but he's way too injury prone. Very good point. Mick, what's up? People like to defend Nefertiti because they got us out of struggle. That doesn't mean we are in their debt forever. Absolutely, mate. I'll just take the second bit there, Tim, while I'm talking, then you can crack on with the top bit. I agree with that. Matt, can I just swap you for a minute, pal? I do apologise. Thanks, babe. Just come downstairs for me. Your dad's upstairs at the minute.
It's Roseanne, by the way.
You've got a very good point about the FSG. Like I said, mate, I love FSG for what they've done in the past 10 years. I'm not going to repeat myself, but I do agree with you. We're not in their debt forever at the end of the day because you've got to move on. You've got to keep building. You've got to keep growing, especially if they see this as a long-term thing for them as well. So I do agree with you on that one, mate. But obviously, let's just shove over to Tim. So let's just take what Blade Runner said there with the Gomez thing, because obviously it ties into what Gav's just said as well, Tim, about if you're sniffing glue.
If I'm sniffing them, well, I mean, listen, I've watched Koulibaly against Liverpool a couple of times. We've played for Napoli and I haven't been impressed. No, I'm not sniffing glue. Yeah, that is why I was injured tonight. I was off my head in the changing room. But I mean, listen, if Koulibaly was that good, Napoli would have broke, you know.
Well, that's a very good point.
Exactly.
So didn't Salah leave him on the deck when we qualified the season when we won the Champions League?
Yeah.
That's another good point.
That's the end of the day. Koulibaly looks great because he plays in Italy. You know?
Fucking Steve Williamson's with a belter of a fucking comment there.
Steve Willow's watching the comments there.
There's loads of people that won't know who fucking Kyriakos is, the fucking Greek long haired beauty bell end. But fucking Steve, that's class. Sorry, Matthew, Tim, carry on. Come on.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm not by any stretch of the word saying.
Oh, fucking hell. Well, okay, I'm going to defend him a little bit here. There's a lot of teams with a lot of money, and if no one's taking a punt on Koulibaly, there's a reason.
You think Man City wouldn't have brought in Koulibaly? They have the funds to. They brought in a guy from Portugal who is younger and just as good. Like, if Koulibaly was that good, he would have left Napoli years ago. What he is the best player on that team, and he therefore looks much better than he actually is, and he plays in Italy. The Italian league is appalling. It's appalling.
He's a brilliant player. Brilliant player to sign on an ultimate team, but maybe not. Yeah. Maybe not for Liverpool.
Interesting. I think FSG know they need to spend money, so that's why sourcing other investors out again. It's a very, very good point. But let's just come. We'll cover Tomo's point in a minute. But Blade Runner's back in. Fair enough, might be no one at the moment to buy, but we seem to a team that only buys from profit. City have bought Diaz and he's unstoppable. End of the day, we need to buy world class to stay top. Yeah, I agree with that, mate. You got to buy the best players to stay top. But again, we've got a different model, haven't we, to City boys, where they can just throw 50 million at a centre back, and if it doesn't work out, we'll just buy another one. And that's we don't work like that. Go on, Matt. Sorry.
We have to buy world class to stay top. We won the Premier League with Gomez and Van Dijk. What the fuck are people on about? They're both injured. Like, we just won the Premier League and they're both gone. We were top of the league by 20 points, we weren't complaining about Gomez and Van Dijk. Then they're both injured, and now all of a sudden Gomez isn't good enough. The fuck is injured?
It comes back to this again, where you're thinking that, oh, they're both injured, we're going to sign fucking Koulibaly, Upamecano, and then for 6 months Gomez and Van Dijk are going to come back, and then they're going to go on the bench, and then we can afford to have them on the bench. It doesn't happen in the real world like that. You've got to sign these no-namers to kind of get you through a shitty period up until you can get your big fellas back. And like Matt said, we had these fellas and we didn't expect all of them to be missing, those two including Matip as well.
Okay. Mick, you just jogged my memory a little bit. So between us now, and obviously everybody in the comments as well, because my memory's shot at the minute. Name City centre-backs. Let's do it now, quickly. So Diaz.
Diaz.
Stones.
Stones.
I suppose you can argue Kyle Walker can play at centre-back.
Is Otamendi still there?
No, he's gone. No.
And then you've got Fernandinho, who plays the Fabinho role. Yeah, in Jackson, and then
you don't. So right, so we just named all City centre backs. Name me the world class ones.
Diaz and Laporte. But Diaz,
okay. Stones, I'd say Stones has probably made that step this year.
Stones has been brilliant. He absolutely has. Fair play to him. But this is what I'm saying. So people looking at the City situation, they've got world-class centre-halves in Diaz and Laporte to stay at centre-half, the same way we have Van Dijk and maybe somebody else, right? But on their bench, they haven't got world-class centre-backs, the same way we won't have world-class centre-backs, because like Mick said, world-class centre-backs will not sit on the bench. Yeah. So let's not think that City have four world-class centre-halves, because they fucking don't. Because that was proved last season when they lost Laporte and they didn't win the fucking league.
Yeah.
And they still have all that fucking amazing talent behind them. So let's not think, oh, there you go. So Diaz, Laporte, Stone, Eric. Yeah, so you're going to look at Diaz and Laporte as being world-class, wouldn't you?
Yeah?
So they haven't got four world-class players. Maybe, obviously, Tim's right, Stones has made that leap, but you wouldn't say he's on the fucking level of Van Dijk or Laporte or, you know, Sergio Ramos, would you? Excuse me. Just, you know, 2018 getting stuck in me thing there as well. No, he's a great player at the end of the day. But that's what I'm saying. But Gav's just said, but their backups are maybe stronger. And it's absolutely true. That's what we need, don't we? Just need those strong people on the bench.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I go Matip is stronger than their backups. He's just injury prone. I'm not sure if it's a case of them having stronger backups or they're just having more reliable backups. Okay, this season's just to be forgotten, isn't it?
It is. But there's what... Mick, go on. Go on.
I've just got a question for you boys, right? So I'm just looking at Joe Gomez now, right? He's 24 in May. If you got an offer in the summer for Joe Gomez to leave, would you accept an offer? There's no fucking chance in a million years I would.
Why would you? Wouldn't. The guy is immensely talented. And yes, he's injury prone, but he's 24.
Exactly.
Like, it doesn't make any sense for a guy that you know can win a Premier League and win a Champions League alongside Van Dijk to just go, oh, yeah, we're going to sell him. It doesn't make any sense. Why would you let a guy like that go? He's the future. He's the guy, when Van Dijk leaves, you want him to step into that role. Surely. Yeah. So bringing in a guy like Koulibaly, who's 30,
yeah.
Why would you do it? Why?
That makes no sense.
How are we having this conversation?
I don't know.
The reason why we're having this conversation, Matthew, is because the comments are interacting and these viewers are helping us. We're not talking shit.
I'm trying to make a point that I think Joe Gomez is severely fucking underrated. Like, yeah, honestly, he's massive. Like, I can't. Sometimes it baffles me how underrated he is. Because even when we've got, like, Verge was out for a couple of games before Gomez got injured, he was fucking terrific. And he stepped up to the plate and he showed what he's made of. Albeit he is injury prone, but he's not even 24 yet. He's 24 in May. He's got time on his side. If he can sort out his body and can kind of fucking somehow get on the field more often. Yeah. Like, he's the same age as Nat Phillips. Put that into context there, right there. Put it in your fucking pipe and smoke it. That's what's on. Yeah. Joe Gomez is fucking amazing for me. I absolutely love him. And he is the long term of Liverpool for me. He can be here as long as he wants to be, as long as he fucking sorts himself out. If he doesn't do that, if we get 3-4 years down the line and he's still getting injured all the time, fair enough, fucking cut your losses and then get someone who's going to come in and change it up a little bit. But for now, for me, he's fucking, him and Van Dijk get on like a house on fire, the big mates off the field. That only helps us on the field. So it's ridiculous, to be honest.
The issue, mate, Ruben Diaz, and he smashed it. That Ruben Diaz is quality. And having a partnership of Diaz and Van Dijk, and we just don't concede a goal ever. because Diaz is world class doesn't mean that Gomez is shit.
No, absolutely it doesn't. Matt, you've just made a really good point there. No one was saying this about Gomez in 18-19 when we went on to finish second by a point and win the Champions League. No one was saying it last season. It was the best centre-back partnership in the league. So again, it's all about the current mindset and where you are right now. And where we are right now is a fucking shit place as a fan base, because our football team are playing shit right now. They absolutely are. But we know the better, and things can only get better. Like Dee Ream said in the 90s, didn't they, Mick? You know what I mean? So I encourage everybody to start listening to that song a bit more. I'll listen you two up there. I will fucking send you what song it is. Yeah, just because you probably don't know what it is. I'll send it you. Yeah. But it can't get any fucking worse than it's already been. But boys, just let's just have, you know, because we're putting on to 43 minutes now and the fucking comments have been brilliant tonight. It's been a really good show. I just want one little final statement from each one of you to try and just sum up how you're feeling, and also try and keep it positive as much as you can. Who wants to go first?
Matt,
come on then.
All right. The loss is obviously deflating, but we know what this team can do. Having, funnily enough, having this conversation about our two injured centre backs has made me quite excited for next season when they're not injured. So I just want this season over with, and I'm looking forward to winning the league next season.
I love it, Tim.
Yeah, I'd probably echo that, to be honest. It just makes you miss kind of Van Dijk and Gomez that little bit extra, especially seeing the ball played over the top. You miss having their pace. They're absolutely electric. But yeah, that's the one thing I'd put it. It just makes you excited for next season. You know, we can hang with a team like Chelsea, who are in full form and with a full squad with almost a minimum injury list. And, you know, they come to Anfield where we've been absolutely appalling, and they, you know, only beat us 1-0, where a team that is in form with a full squad playing against a Liverpool team as depleted as we are should be absolutely thrashing us. So let's take a positive away that it wasn't some sort of hiding, and, you know, that we stuck in that game for a full 90 minutes. So it's not all negative.
No. Mick?
Yeah. I agree. Like, we've just got to fight tooth and nail for this. Yeah, go on, Nath, go for it, lad. Take the heart off.
It is what it is.
Steve, I was fucking flying in the comments. Well, in Steve, lad, nice one for that.
Yeah, what's important there? Still should be able to find that killer pass going forward. Though. Can't completely put it down to Spence. Yeah. You know, absolutely true.
It's true, and that is it. And it comes back to what we've just been saying. Like, you're missing your fucking two main fellas at the back. We rely on them so much, and it is the Klopp system, and it is Klopp's fault technically, because we do rely on them that much. But when you lose them, it's fucking huge. And I mean, like Tom O'Shea said as well, roll on fans back into the stadium, because that's not even been touched on. We keep saying, like, and keeps saying, Liverpool have got loads of injuries, but we also rely on the fans more than any other team in the fucking division. So once we get big fellas back, fans back into the stadium, then we'll be fucking flying. So we just need to get top four and roll over to next season as best as we can.
Go on, Matt. I'm trying to round this off on positivity, Matt. Go on. Fucking hell, I was going to say mine.
Yeah, you can answer this one, Jay. On this one, could we put it down to solely defence? Has the front three been in the past as clinical as we're making them out, or have they missed the same chances, but we've just had a solid defence that's bailed them out and given them more and more chances?
Oh, it's a good point, mate. And to be fair, we could probably answer that in a podcast of its own. Why don't we fucking do that on its own show? We could analyse that. We'll do a bit of research behind that, mate, because it probably is, probably because you're looking at like a balancing act where the defence has gone shit, so now all the focus is on the front three. You know, and then if we're not scoring, we go, well, we're not conceding as well because the defence has been fucking brilliant. That's the best way I can describe it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you're probably right, Matt. There probably has been a thing where they have probably missed as many chances, but also as well, there's a lot of times where they put the ball in the back of the net anyway and still miss loads of chances, so that we're not creating chances. And Mick said it before, our first shot on target on the 85th minute, to be fair, answers that entire fucking question. So it does answer it all, mate. But what I'm going to do now, Jen, you are.
I was just going to say, I think we usually create probably double the amount, but we miss the same amount, but we usually score a bit more. So it's like,
yeah, there's been drops off everywhere at the end of the day, and it goes back to what we said, didn't we? I think it was in December we said it on a show, didn't we? The fact that this team has gone full pelt for fucking years, and this was expected at some point. We didn't expect it to be as bad as what it has been. you know, COVID with the break. Tomo said it in the comments earlier, you know, these had a, the lads had a break from March all the way up until towards the end of the summer. Then it was full pelt then. And it hasn't stopped being full pelt because the whole season has to be crammed so we can get back online with normal circumstances. So there's so many things that are going wrong at the minute, and we are just falling fucking foul of it all. But do you know what, boys? I'm just going to do a champ manager 0102. I'm going to go on holiday, let all the fixtures play at the bottom, and then return from holiday, and then I'm going to see a nice load of little wins. That's what I'm going to do. I'm not going to look at the league table now until the final day of the fucking season, because let's just fucking crack on. Yeah. And like I said, D-Ream. But boys, that has been fucking brilliant. We're coming up to 50 minutes there. Normally, obviously, we go through everybody's name in the comments, but I'm not going to do that because there's a fucking shitload of them. We appreciate every fucking one of you. I'm glad we could read out comments from everybody tonight, which was absolutely amazing. My thanks to Mick, as always, and, you know, thanks to the centre-back pairing of Nat Phillips and Ozan Kabak. Thanks for joining us again, boys. We really, really appreciate it. And listen, everybody out there, just it's fucking shit. Like Tim always says, it is what it is, right? But we'll deal with it. We move on. There's another game. Let's just fucking go win number 7. Let's go to Istanbul and pick up number 7. Okay, let's just do it the hard way. Screw it. Podcast Network.